Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
What are the legal ramifications of President Biden's new vaccination mandate? The new directives include a vaccine requirement for all federal workers and contractors, and a requirement that large companies mandate vaccines or regular testing for employees. The plan is the most substantial federal vaccine action in our country's history. But in America's ongoing battle over civil liberties during this pandemic, is the plan overreaching? Joining us now is Professor Dorit Rice. She's a vaccine law expert at the University of California Hastings College of Law. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned, we've never really seen a federal vaccine mandate like this in the United States. Does this one open up legal arguments that it infringes on an individual's civil liberties?
We will definitely see court cases that raise the argument that this infringes of civil liberties. But in that area, the jurisprudence tend to be deferential to policymakers. The courts have been very deferential to policymakers that balance individual rights with the public health. And the standard is a reasonableness standard. As long as the limit is reasonable, the policymakers can go ahead. So while we will see such claim, and while some courts may be sympathetic to them, overall, that's probably the weakest claim against the mandate.
Well, let's break down some of the arguments, and we'll start with companies and the arguments that companies might have. They can be fined up to $14,000 per violation for employers that ignore these mandates. What legal arguments do companies have against this?
I see at least three areas where companies may challenge this. First, they can challenge this by saying this is beyond the federal government's power to regulate. The federal government is using its power to regulate interstate commerce to do this, and the commerce power has limits. And federal companies can say, this is not regulating interstate commerce. This is directly trying to fight the pandemic by using a power that isn't appropriate. Second, companies can also argue that this is beyond OSHA's role. So this is going to be done by a rule by the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which regulates workplace safety. And companies can say, you're not actually regulating workplace safety here. You're trying to use OSHA to increase vaccination rates, which is beyond the scope. And third, companies can argue that this rule is arbitrary and capricious because it's a response to political pressure rather than OSHA's reasoned judgment. Agencies need to make rules that are analytically sound, that have a support behind them, and are not just what the politicians want. And some companies may raise the argument that this is a political step and not analytically sound.
What about employees? I'm guessing it depends on where you live. Refusing to take a vaccine is not a protected class.
That's exactly right. But there are protections to some people who want to refuse a vaccine in the workplace. So the Americans with Disabilities Act would protect people with medical conditions that make vaccinating more dangerous. And the Civil Rights Act of 1964 may protect people with sincere religious objection. But again, since there's an inbuilt option for anyone, whatever the reasons not to vaccinate, and that's testing, that is going to be very hard to use.
We do see these exemptions play out for other vaccines. You're saying that it's actually hard to use this exemption. Why is that?
Simply because the alternative to vaccination is not being fired. It's testing. So what are you using the exemption for? Are you trying to say you shouldn't be tested? The courts haven't been particularly sympathetic to workers that don't want to be tested on the job. It's going to be easier to argue for exemptions for federal employees now because the federal government is moving to a vaccinate or you're fired mandate for federal employees. And that's where we'll see struggle around exemptions more than in the private sector where it's vaccinate or test.
I see. Republicans characterize Biden's mandates as an overreach, and many of them are threatening to sue. RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel called Biden's mandate unconstitutional and authoritarian. Do governmental agencies have a legal argument?
Yes, governmental agencies have a legal argument. The Constitution does acknowledge broad power by the federal government to regulate, for example, interstate commerce. And the federal government has done broad things in the past. This is certainly new. And there are arguments against it, and it's not quite clear whether the court will accept this as an exercise of interstate commerce powers. But there is a good legal argument for the federal government that they're acting to prevent something that is affecting the United States broadly, that is affecting interstate commerce and interstate travel, and therefore they do have an argument.
Let's go back to enforcement. You talked about OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. They'll have the power to enforce, but do they have the actual resources to do it?
That's always a tricky one. Federal agencies are chronically understaffed and underfunded. They may have to sacrifice other things, and how broad enforcement will be is unclear to me. But I think one of the things that this will do that may not be completely visible is give cover to businesses that want to do this, but need support, either because they're worried about backlash within the workforce, or because their state has a ban on mandating. Now they have federal cover to go forward with a ban. Is they may have to go to court and say in a court, we're trapped between the state and federal government. We need permission to require the vaccines.
Professor Dorit Rice is a vaccine law expert at the University of California Hastings College of Law. Professor, thank you so much.
Thank you.